Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
And now, the art of love.
My lady wears the best, or she wears nothing at all. And that's why authoress Terry E. Lyle has designed her own personal fragrance collection. She has 10 to choose from. They are Unmasked, Insane, Confessions, Peeling Back the Mask, Forgiveness, Say It Ain't So, Speechless, Exposed, In the Bag, and Wow. They all have a fruity and hint of light flower smell. Some descriptions could be a soft, tantalizing, fresh aroma, tropical and exotic sweet smell of light flowers and melon scent. Smell of romance is in the air. A 3.4-ounce bottle of perfume is $60. An 8-ounce bottle of lotion is $20. They all smell so good to me. But you don't have to take my word for it. Go to her personal website at www.terrylyle.com. That's www.terrylyle.com. Or you can reach her direct. The number, 443-956-8753. That's 443-956-8753. And make sure that you specify which bottle of perfume or lotion you wish to purchase. Terry accepts PayPal and all other major credit cards. All products have a money-back guarantee on all fully unused containers. Make your choice today. And oh, don't forget, when the mood is right and you're relaxed, then listen to Unmasked with Terry E. Lyle every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Well, if you excuse me, I like to get back to making it do what it do, baby. Peace.
Driving me out of my mind. Well, welcome everybody to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle and Shalonda. And I just want to thank everybody who decided to tune in this evening with us, because it's Friday and it's Labor Day weekend and everybody's trying to get their barbecue on, trying to get their little party on, try to act like they're in love, you know, but whatever the situation may be. I just thank you for hanging out with me and Shalonda, because you know something, you could have been anywhere else, but you decided to be here with us. And for all my listeners via the computer, the phone, the iPod, so whatever contraption that you are using, thank you for supporting us, sister. And I want to say hello to everybody from north to south, east to west. And, you know, tune in every Friday because we got something for you. But today's show is about erotic writers. Now, we know that there's pornography out here. There's all kinds of things out there to get your current on. Sometimes it's just the sound of a brother's voice like, do this and do that, you know. But people don't naturally just be sexy or sexual, you know. Some of us got it and some of us don't. Some of us are frigid and some of us, you know, we just hot as can be. But today we're going to talk about the people who write that stuff to get you all turned up and juiced up and all that kind of stuff. And we're going to welcome my guest tonight, Megan. How you doing, Megan?
Oh, I'm fine, Terry. How are you?
I'm good. And before we do that, I must not forget to mention my beautiful co-host, Shalonda. How you doing, sweetie Petey?
I'm fine. Hi, Miss Terry. How are you?
I'm fine, darling. I'm just so glad today is Friday, you know, because another week down and another day to go. But, you know, we was expecting to have another young lady on with us named Sakara, but if she calls in while we're broadcasting, she's more than welcome to it, be added to the conversation. But we're going to start first with Megan. Megan, can y'all get a general idea of what age frame you are, between 30 and 50 or between 18 and 35? I mean, give us a bracket. We don't really need to know how old you are.
Oh, yeah, 30 and 50 or so.
30-ish or so? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now, so when you was growing up, did you grow up a freak? Let it out there. I mean, let it out, girlfriend. Don't hold back.
Yes, well, I tell you, I was actually kind of a closet freak, you know, because if you were to tell anybody at high school, I don't know if you ever saw Grease, the movie, or play Grease. I was so totally Sandy, you know. I mean, I was just, yes, I was Sandy, too. I was not Rizzo, you know. I was Sandy, you know. And so, yes, I was the sweet one. I was the honor student. I was the quiet one, you know. But then I would go home, and from the time I was a teenager, I'd be writing erotic stories. And
you know what I'm saying? Hold up right there. You know, she's talking about she was not doing anything on the road, but then she went home and wrote that nasty stuff. That means she wanted some.
Yeah, you got to watch out for the quiet ones, I tell you. And so I think that in college was when it kicked in a little bit more, because, you know, I come from a pretty conservative family, not politically conservative, but more morally conservative, from Indiana.
Right.
And, in college, oh, my gosh, I still continued to write, and I was reading erotic romance, and I was looking at Playgirl magazine and, you know, and watching
with
movies.
With the toys and all that other kind of stuff.
And so that just shows you, you know, you got to watch out for the quiet ones. We're the ones that surprise you.
that's the ones I look for, because I know there's something going on. And, you know, a lot of time, like you said, kind of conservative. You know, I'm not going to say conservative. I just think that sometimes when people, like your parents or guardians, when they bring you up in an environment of respect and not throwing trash up in your face because they don't want you emulating that. I don't really call it conservative. I just think people who got good morals that they want to pass on to their offspring, and they're grounded. So, you know, don't make it sound like it's such a bad thing being conservative, because ain't nothing wrong with that. Because I grew up in a conservative family as well. And thank God I did, because a lot of these people out here that's locked up, all messed up and all promiscuous, is because they grew up in an environment where it was latchkey, nobody gave a damn, you know, and, you know, it was just like, you know, that's what they turned out to be. So, you know,
Yes, I agree, you know, and I mean, my parents are wonderful, and also, you know, I feel that they really did keep me grounded, and that they encouraged me to think of my education first, and when I see so many young ladies that get derailed early, that, you know, they get pregnant, or, you know, they end up married or living with somebody at a very young age, and I just think, you know, I mean, what could they have been, you know? Here we could have had like a scientist or a doctor, or in my case, a journalist and a writer, you know, but she'll never know because she was just derailed at an early age, you know. And I definitely appreciate my upbringing.
Yes, me as well. And I just want to say this real quick. You know, people out there who see children in an environment where they're latchkey, whether their parents are working and they can't afford the babysitters and they're in their homes by themselves. You know, as an adult, I wish that everybody out there, if you know of someone like that, keep a special eye out. Keep a special ear out, because you never know, they might burn a damn house down. You never know if somebody might jump in there because they know they're alone, you know. And I can't blame all the parents, because sometimes it's just the economy as it is, you know, they can't afford to work and pay babysitter, so it's a hard choice. But I just thank God that I was under that strict and firm upbringing, because I was the good little girl, the honor roll student. You know, I might be a bona fide freak now, but hello. At least I had the right kind of morals to pass down to my daughter. But I see my co-host got a question, and so I'm sure she got something that's going to be nice, because she's just so nice. And I'm just so, you know, off the chain, but we'll see. Go ahead, Shalonda. Ask your question, baby. Shalonda, is your phone on mute?
It is.
Well,
I was
Shalonda.
Starting it early. I'm trying to put these kids out the door. But I just want to know how, as a child, I know you said you were, you know, you take a look at and peek through, like, little magazines and stuff. But at what point did you say, I want to write something about erotica or something? When did you make that change? Did you start out with, like, maybe, like, poetry and short stories? Or, you know, just how did you start in the business?
Yeah, it's a good question, because from the time that I could hold a pen, I loved writing, you know, and I loved to write for school. I wrote little mystery stories. I mean, I wrote poems and essays, and I've just always adored writing, you know, just about anything. And I think one of the reasons that I chose erotica is that I read, especially like in college, I read quite a few romances and erotic books, and I enjoyed them, but at the same time, I saw a lot that needed to be changed, you know, in my opinion. I thought, you know, we need to see stronger heroines, you know, we need to see men that are still strong, but at the same time, you know, sensitive, you know, a little more sensitive to a woman's needs. I wanted to see more realistic-looking heroines. I wondered why every heroine, you know, had to look like a fashion doll. She has to be, she can't eat. She has to be a size 2, and, you know, and 20,
right.
21 years old, you know. And so I wanted to get in there, and I wanted to offer something different to women, something that was very empowering, you know, that was fun, and that would make them feel, you know, that regardless of their body type or age or whatever, that they are strong and sexy and smart, you know. And
right.
So
big
that's
beautiful.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of my heroines are BBW, yes, you know. And so that's one of the reasons that I got into it, because I enjoyed the genre, but I saw so much that needed to be added to it.
Well, that's wonderful. You know,
thank you.
When you said that you changed the type of heroine in your stories, because everybody ain't a size 2, and most people's parents, you know, ain't a size 2. But, you know, I would think a big, robust female would be more believable that she can kick some butt, you know what I'm saying?
Mm. Yes, absolutely.
You know, I want to be an Amazon kind of woman, you know?
Yes, me too.
Now, we found out that you said you've always did that little erotica thing. So when you was writing stuff for school, I mean, did you put a different spin on Little Red Riding Hood than the wolf? Was the wolf and Little Red Riding Hood messing around? I mean, what's going on?
Well, that's very interesting because let me tell you, one of my books that I have out now through Satin Romance is called Behold the Beauty, and it's actually a Beauty and the Beast story where it's reversed, where the man is the beauty and the woman is the beast. And she's not literally a beast, but again, she's very strong. It's a historical, you know, like a Renaissance period, and she's very
mm-hmm.
strong, and she's outspoken, and she's very unusual looking, you know, and so she gets, you know, bullied a lot in her village, but then the prince discovers her, you know, and he sees what a special woman she is, and so yeah, I like to do fairy tales, but I always reverse them, you know. In my stories, it's the woman who's coming in to save the man, you know. It's like it's the princess who's charging in to save the prince, you know.
So. Yeah, well, you know something, that reminds me, you know, this is not sexual, but it reminds me of this little fairy tale I heard a long time ago. It says, Little Miss Muffet sat on her tuffet.
Oh, God.
Her curves and ways. Along came a spider and sit down beside her and said, what's in the bowl, bitch? Oh, I can't help myself. It just popped in my head, so I figured I just need to just kick it out there.
You know, I don't see the old Miss Muffet story.
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. But you know something, Megan? We're going to take a small break, darling, and we want you to get one of those poems, you know. We want you to read it. And for anybody who want to call in and talk to our guests, call in at 347-945-6003, and she'll be here to talk to you. But if you just want to listen, call in. But if you want to talk, hit the number 1 key, and it will let me know that you got a question. So stay tuned. We'll be back in 2 and 2.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike. Hey, how y'all doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. Just been really busy. Sorry I haven't been there this week. Yes. I forgot, but I will be there this week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey man, I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own guy. For things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen it.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day.
No! Who is this? Why is he in my house?
Who are you, man?
Is this your mom?
Who are you? Mother, this is my woman and this is my house.
Oh,
honey,
my girlfriend.
Why is he in this house? What do you mean you didn't know?
When the secret is no longer hidden, you have now been exposed. Written by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
To unmask with authoress Terry E. Lyle in Shalonda on this Friday evening. And you know, our guest today is talking about her sexual writings and how she was all backed up when she was going to school, and y'all thought she was just a good little girl, and she had that little freaky thing going on in the background, and she got to writing it down, and then she found out that she had some skills writing that erotica stuff. But you know something? If you can write it, then you must be doing it. But that song that played on the break was Gerald LaVert, You Got That Love. I took it a little bit back in the time. That kind of smack your mama kind of love, you know, that okey-doke kind of love. Now, if I have some lovemaking going on and I want to smack my mama, I said, damn, I ain't going to let that nigga get away. You know what I'm saying? He got to stay. He can't go nowhere. Woo! Make you smack your mama kind of love. Now, you know. That's rough. But, Megan, we want to welcome you back, me and Shalonda. And I'm going to let Shalonda ask her question first before I get off the hook. Because I'm going to go there with you.
Right. Okay. First, I just wanted to say that I did speak to Sakara, and she is coming online now. She had to mix up with her time. She thought it was Central Time, but it was Eastern Standard. So she will be with us shortly.
Okay.
But I wanted to ask about the – I'm sorry?
I said two freaks is better than one.
Yeah, double your fun.
I wanted to ask about the modern erotic woman, and if you could explain that term to us, the modern erotic woman.
Yes, well, really, you know, through all of my work, I've always striven, you know, to express the concept of the modern erotic woman. And really it's about a woman being unafraid to grasp, you know, and express, you know, her pleasure, among other things. She can grasp a lot of things. you know, I try to express it like, you know, through Facebooks. I actually have a series. It's a vampire series called Undercover of the Night, and it's actually about a group of vampires that open up a bordella, you know, for women, you know, and through Class Act books, I've got, like, Naked Siren about a group of mermen that double as male strippers, you know, for women.
Oh, shit, male mermen. Well, hold on, I got to break in here real quick because homegirl's on the line. So, Carla, are you dead, darling?
Hi, ladies. Greetings.
Hi, baby.
I had this brilliant moment of a realization that 7:30 Eastern time does not correlate to Central time. So I apologize. For some reason, I was thinking I was getting on at 7:30 Central time.
Mm-mm. But anyway, I'm just going to bring you up to speed. You know, while you was not here, Megan said that she, when she went to school, she was on the honor roll. She said she was in a conservative family. She said she wasn't getting none. So when she went home, you know, her little mom was racing, and she started writing little nasty things and shit. Then she started acting out and everything. So we just going to get you up to speed. How about you?
Oh, my. The rebellion.
she already knows.
The rebellion continues.
We want to know it all. We want to know every little detail. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Now, we done already told our secrets all. You all late, so we got to tell you, when did you start getting all a little hot and bothered? Was it before you had your first boyfriend, or was it, you know, you were just always touching yourself? Because, you know, they say kids always touching yourself, experiment, because, ooh, that feels good. Ooh, touch it right there, touch it right there, you know.
I was going to let you finish that train of thought. I didn't want to interrupt you there.
Yeah, I'm glad I stopped because I might start touching my own self.
Well, I can definitely tell you, Miss Terry, that I think some human beings are just born really sensual into this plane of creation.
I know that's because I'm one of them. Mm-hmm.
And I definitely would have to say that I came into a very sensual world. Though I've always noticed that the world around me, I just felt more. Colors always popped more. And even as a little kid, I was always fascinated by romance. There was always something in me that liked to see the beauty in love, and I always sought that out. And so my discovery into erotica came in probably around my early childhood. I would have to say I was as young as 12, 13, reading books that were probably way, way, way past my maturity level.
Mm-hmm.
And around 15 was when I discovered Aeneas Nin and Rocco Lair. And, you know, if you're already a really sensual being and you kind of have a bit of a rebellious nature, sooner or later you're going to find yourself in trouble. So
exactly.
I found myself in trouble and shipped away to this little bitty Missouri town. And even there, I managed to still get myself in trouble. And it was there in this little bitty town of 500 people that I actually discovered the works of Marquis de Sade. And let me tell you something, that place goes down really, really dark alleys.
And you know, that's sad that, you know, they shipped you off because they thought that you was too promiscuous or too open about your sexuality. You know, we are given these impulses, you know, by our Heavenly Father because he wants us to reprocreate, you know. But the thing is, it doesn't make any sense. A lot of people who have their own views about sex and they're not comfortable about their own sexual practices, they want to sit there and put that down your throat like, oh, no, you ain't supposed to like it. You ain't supposed to like it when somebody is pulling on your nipples and chewing on them. You ain't supposed to like it because somebody is hitting it from the back. You ain't supposed to like it because you're doing something freaky. You're putting candy inside your coochie, and then the guy's licking it out, and they're like, oh, wait, you know, and they want you to think that you're wrong. But, you know, that's not wrong because I believe that you know, before you can be with a person and express how you like it, you got to figure it out for yourself on your own what you like, you know, and you got to own that shit. You know, you can't be acting like, oh, I can't say that. Oh, that's so nasty. But you know something? If you keep acting like that, you will never get a good nut. Hello, you will never get a good nut. Your toes will not fucking curl. Your head won't spin around like you possess. So you got to come out there, you know, come out there, you know. And if anybody who want to experiment, get you some pop rock candy, put it up in there. That shit be popping. Pop, 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 pop.
Oh, my God.
And he be licking it and putting it on his face. Like, oh! He gets a screaming. I had this guy scream like a little biatch. It was so good, but, you know. I'm just going to pull back because I see that my co-host got something he want to say.
Pop rock candy here, Miss Terry.
Right. She just knocked my thoughts right somewhere. I just lost my words, I swear. Sometimes she just catch me off guard. I don't even remember what I was going to say. You said pop rocks and it just threw me so well.
No, I went into a tower and you engaged in that shit. But that shit is cool, though, man. I'm telling you, you put that shit in your mouth, man, and you put his dick in your mouth and you sucking that shit, just jumping around, pow, 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 pow. He don't know what to do. He's squeezing on your ass and he's pulling at his shit like a little girl. And he's all down your mouth. That's a new way to get voice
rock
lessons.
I didn't realize pop rocks are more than just a food source for you.
Right. Yes, it is, girl. We don't know. It's time to try it on your husband or your significant other. Put it in your mouth and go for it.
And it's terrible because we were on vacation last week, well, early this week, and my children had pop rocks. So when you said pop rocks,
oh, Lord.
Well, like four children.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, goodness, grief, that's too much. Sometimes it's Terry, sometimes it's Terry.
I don't know where I'd be going sometimes. I just try to get there.
Right. But when Sakara came on the line, we were talking about the erotic woman, modern erotic woman, and what how do you describe a modern erotic woman? So could we go back to that, just from both
yes,
of your
quickly.
Points of view? How do we how do you describe the modern erotic woman, and can I just expand on and say as compared to the erotic man?
Wow. You know,
yeah.
Times have really changed in the sense of what I've really seen in, say, the social scene and living in a city that's very young and boisterous is that tables have really turned. I see that a lot of women in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and even in their 50s have taken their own sexual pleasure, their personal desires, their sense of engagement to be something where they're in control. And to me, a modern erotic woman is someone who gives herself permission to be able to feel, not shy away from the natural urgings of her body, and to really develop a relationship with her body, knowing what she wants, what her boundaries are, and not afraid to go seeking that, you know, being able to educate herself in what's pleasurable, where her line of comfort is. And I feel like that's a real refreshing take for a lot of men, and if anything, the modern erotic man to me is malleable. You know, they're not taking these age-old patriarchal views of how women and men should behave, and allowing themselves to be able to be in a place of receptivity towards women. That's not something that you normally see from decades past, and I'm really loving this sexual revolution that we're going through right now. It's a conscious revolution, and I see a lot of women out there that are not afraid to express themselves.
That's right.
And I feel like I feel like there is a really fine line that women are still walking between expressing themselves with confidence and being seen in the world as a strong, empowered woman, exactly,
mm-hmm.
versus being a whore and just, you know, expressing herself. And I feel like there's still a lot of education. Our world needs to define what is erotic and what is okay with erotic. You know, we still have a lot of slut shaming, a lot of puritanism that we're fighting against, and I feel like this is the platform that allows us to really be able to explore what this new paradigm in sexual power looks like.
Okay.
Yeah, you just shut it down.
Yeah. But you know something, Cara, you know, it is also a thin line between being open with your sexuality and religious ideas, because a lot of people that are spiritual and religious, and I am one, they seem to think, okay, we belong to the hoity-toity society. We ain't supposed to do nothing. We ain't supposed to act like we like it. And then there's the other side where, okay, I'm a Christian, but I like to get my thing wet. You know what I'm saying? And people act like, oh, no, you can't do that. You know, hell, I'm a single damn woman. You know, I am so sick and tired of watching TV. You know, all these little love scenes on Lifetime, all, you know, so I want to do it too. Now, I'm trying to be nice. I've been celibate for a little while, you know, trying to wait on that man that God got for me. But, you know, so I'm starting to think, shit, while I'm waiting, I need to do something because my ass is getting straight back up. You know, and I'm getting a little tired of the toys.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
But
see, that's part
I do
of
have
being
a
modern.
Here.
That's
but,
part of being an erotic
call.
Woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's being able to feel okay with having those toys and okay to explore your body. And you know, it's and when it comes down to it, if you can argue it's about religion. And
mm-hmm.
that is a form of control. But when it comes down to it, it's bigger than that. It's allowing ourselves to open up to realize that we're divine. And
exactly.
because the divine wants to experience life on earth.
Girl, I'm just like a flower. I want to open my legs like a flower, but no. Okay, but we got a guest right here who got a question for you ladies. Call a 4972. Are you there?
I sure am, Miss Terry. How are you? Hi, Shalonda. Hello to your guests.
Hey, Lucky.
Hi, Robin. Hey, Lucky.
How are y'all? How is everybody?
Oh,
you know me, Miss Terry. I want to comment on the religion thing.
Okay, baby.
I want to comment on the religion thing as far as sexuality. Now, for your guests, she doesn't know. I'm a clinical nymphomaniac. I have been hospitalized for the lack of sex. Not having sex does terrible things to my body. And my witness is on the phone. My god sister is on the phone. She can tell you that I'm not lying about this. But, you know, I choose to abstain right now because of what it's a toss-up with religion. You know, on the one hand, yeah, you're supposed to, God wants you to, he lays out for you the lines of how things are supposed to be and that, you know, you should wait. But the body was created for sex. That's why he created man and woman, was for procreation. He didn't create it for us not to enjoy it. For those of you who don't know, I want you to look up the Song of Solomon. That is the most passionate, most devious, most get-at-it, most beautiful, most sensuous love of a woman's body and what she has to offer to a man that you're going to find anywhere, and that's in the Bible. The book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, talks about what a woman should be to her husband. And it doesn't phrase it this way, but basically what it says is you're supposed to be everything. He's not supposed to go out and get a whore because you're supposed to be his whore. He's not supposed
That's
to go out and find what you're not giving him because you're supposed to give it to him. You're supposed to be his everything. He's supposed to be your everything. It is for
mm-hmm.
your enjoyment. That is why it was created. God wouldn't have created procreation for us not to enjoy it. Just like, I mean, look at us, the three of us that are on this phone. God has a sense of humor, or he wouldn't have created us with one. It wouldn't feel good if he didn't intend for it to feel good while it was happening.
Right.
And now, with toys, for me, yes, I use them. Sometimes
I
feel a little guilty about it. But I
think
I feel guilty about
it
because
okay,
I break them.
Tell the truth.
I am. I think I feel guilty about them because I break them. And I feel like maybe I'm not, I shouldn't be using them because I break them. So,
damn, girl, you hit that shit hard.
I've broken every one I've ever had in the carry. I lied to you not. The last one I had is supposed to be like real flesh. I bruised it. How do you bruise a fake one? I mean, I bruised a real one, but how do you bruise a fake one?
Bless your heart. Mine's like bend, but it don't break.
Yeah, well, see, mine bend and break. You know, and I've had several kinds, several things. I've had the wand. I've had all kinds of things. But for me, it doesn't feel right. And that's probably why they get broken, because it's not real flesh. But for those of you who are listening who are Christians, I want to say to you that, yeah, God says that we're supposed to withstand. But if you can't withstand, you need to talk to your Father. Tell him you can't withstand. And he understands that we're going to sin. We were created in sin. He does not call you to suffer.
I hope that daughter don't understand what
she's
hearing her mama say. I hope that baby don't understand what they're hearing her mama say.
No, she just walked in here. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I had to go through.
She be going outside playing Jack, say, okay, I break my toys.
By the way, I would suggest a Sibian machine. You can't break it.
You'd be surprised.
Look it up. It's good.
Yeah, you'd be surprised what can be broken that shouldn't be. But you know, nonetheless, for me, you know, they don't feel right. It's not the real thing. If it doesn't say micro machines, it's not the real thing. There is no substitution for the real thing. Period. But
I know that's right.
No,
you know, I'm not saying I don't really like toys that much, but I can't live without the real thing. Y'all are so much better than me. Oh, lucky you know. I'm a chaser. I will lose my mind. I'll call
you
the old one.
I'll tell you. Will tell you, I'm not above rape. If I don't get it, I will take it from you. But,
guys, I'm saying, don't get in front of Lucky's face, because you heard what she said. She said,
I'm holding back. That is the hardest battle I've ever had, and I'm doing very well at it right now. And when I just have to go in my room and lock my door and just sit there and just not come out and not talk to anybody and don't go in the street, don't go to stores. You know, it's not an easy battle. But for those people who are Christians, God understands that we were created in sin. That's why he sent his son to forgive us. So if you feel like if it's doing something to your body and you cannot hold out, don't feel like God is going to hate you because you do it, because he's not. That's all I have to say about it. Oh, that, and make sure y'all read the Song of Solomon. Read the Song of Solomon.
I hope that if you ever have a visit from Jesus, because we heard how beautiful that he is, I hope you don't have no idea to try and do him too, girl, because you know your ass is going straight to hell.
You know what, Terry? You going to hell. No, see, there are no perfect people. The only perfect person that was ever created was Jesus. And so, you know, I think he's out of our parameters. You know, I don't think that, you know, I don't think that's a smart move right there. But to love him is one thing. To love him is one thing. To be in love with him is one thing. But I don't see me anytime in the future, you know, trying to hit on Jesus. You know, that just...
Now, you know, that is one way to have a relationship with Jesus. There is another way where you can actually work with the masters when you're having conscious sex.
Absolutely.
This is the thing that I think a lot of people don't realize, is that, you know, as beings, as powerful beings, as beings who represent the Creator and who came into a world that is created to be very pleasurable and painful also, if you're not paying attention. I'm just talking in terms of the natural world. And yet, as human beings, we're still very young in our own evolution.
You know, we keep coming through this plane over and over again. And if you don't believe that, you know, much respect to you as well. The thing I'm trying to convey is that there's a lot of power that we as women and men can tap into when it comes to having sex that we don't always think about. We get so caught up in the pleasure part, the relief,
mm-hmm.
that we don't realize that when you're building this energy and you're building this power in your body, there are a lot of things you can do. So, for instance, in some of the classes I teach and some of the books that we write about in metaphysical erotica, when a couple is making love, you know, and they open their bodies, they open their hearts, they're basically open channels, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now you've tapped in. You've tapped into each other. You've tapped into the universal field of just movement and pleasure and energy moving. It's in those places and in those times that you can make your act really sacred. You can call on the holiest of the holy lovers and invite them to be able to bring their energy into you.
Wow.
So when this happens, I invite Yeshua, or Jesus as we call him, I invite Yeshua and Mary Magdalene. So
what?
When I do that, I open my body. Listen, this is holy, man. I open my body and tap into their energy, and I invite them to join me, to heal me, to help me, to help me spread their energy and love through the world. Let me tell you something. That is hot. It turns out
so your ass be screaming
hot.
And
that
climbing
level,
the damn walls and banging the walls.
It's high, man, let me tell you.
Ooh,
and not only that,
you
can invite the most sacred lovers like Isis and Osiris or Kuan
mm-hmm.
Yin and Lao Tzu or, you know, your ancestors.
Okay, I'm not with you on that one. Now, the Bible says that you should make Jesus a part of everything in your life, and that includes sex. When you're having sex, you should invite him in. Some of the most intimate times I've had have been where we have invited God into the act of what we're doing. But Mary Magdalene and Isis, man, you're on your own with that.
Well, there's a balance. There is a balance that I see in the Bible that doesn't reflect where women should be respected and honored. There are
now, you're
so
right about that, but that's where the missing books of the Bible come in. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in so that he can be your translator and show you what's there and what's not there and what's missing and what should be. That's where your faith steps in. But Mary Magdalene and Isis, again, you're on your own with that.
You know, we all entitled to our opinions because they're like buttholes. We all got one. But,
that's why I said she's on her own with that. I can't get with that. I mean, I respect that you do that, but that's for you.
Right.
Yes.
Well, on that note, we got to take a little small break. And ladies, Sakara and Megan, when we come back, we want you to pull out some of that erotica. We want you to read it and read it nice and slow so we can get the full effects because we want to get into the mindset of the people who write this erotica. Stay tuned. We'll be back in 2 and 2.
One month ago today, I was happier as a lark, but now I go for walks, to the movies, maybe to the park. I have a seat on the same old bench to watch the children play. You know, tomorrow is their future, but for me, just another day. They all gather around me. They seem to know my name. We laugh, tell a few jokes, but it still doesn't ease my pain. I know I can't hide from a memory, though day after day I've tried. I keep saying she'll be back, but today again I've lied.
Have you seen her? Tell me, have you seen her? Oh, I hear her voice.
people I know, I'm still a lonely man. You know, it's funny, I thought I had her in the palm of my hand.
You know, someone asked me recently, what do I do when I have downtime? Thought about this for a moment, and in my mind I thought about a nice, hot, soothing bubble bath, candles, a nice glass of wine with the right book to read. And instantly I thought about authorist Terry E. Lyle, because I knew I was guaranteed to get a good laugh or some soul searching, just like a few of her other books, Insane, Peeling Back the Mask, and her latest, Exposed. This author has written 9 books, and I can't pick a favorite. But my advice to you is to make your own choice by going to her personal website, where she even signs the books for free, at www.terrylyle.com. Or go to Author House, Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, or your local retailer to get a copy and start your own collection today. This is the last time I'm going to say, you can't borrow mine.
Well, thank you, everybody, for hanging with me on Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle and Shalanda. And it's Friday, and the weather down here in Alabama is beautiful, but wherever you may be, make the best of it. If it's cold, turn the heat on or snuggle up with somebody. If it's hot, you know, pull your clothes off and get freaky with it. Do what you got to do, baby. But that song just played was Have You Seen Her by the Shy Lights. And tonight our guest is Megan and Sakara, and they're talking about erotica. And we had gotten to a discussion just a few minutes ago before the break about the connection between religion and people who are so religious, how they come off to other people like, oh, no, 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 what you're doing is nasty. You know, now my personal belief that, you know, everything is done in decency and order. If you marry and you're doing something, whether it might be considered to be freaky or not, it's permitted. You know, it's okay. If you're single, you know, they want to put you down when you're doing those things, you know. But sometimes you got to do those things to get you a husband, because a lot of times today people is not trying to be stuck with somebody if they haven't seen the merchandise. Because Lord knows, man, I remember this one guy, before he was getting ready to put it in, I had to peek. When I saw that tiny little shit, I said, oh, my back, Lord, Lord, my back. I had to, like, talk about that shit. You know, so it makes sense to me in my world that, you know, God forgive me if I'm wrong, but, you know, before I get trapped in a marriage or a long-term relationship, I want to look at it. I want to feel it. I want to see if he know what to do with it. Is he teachable, you know, and is his mind open to be a little, you know, out of the norm for what he's used to? Because, you know, hey, everybody want love, but, you know, I don't want to be with a man who's just a good man and he pays the bills and he do that. Because, you know, sex is a very important part of a relationship if it's going to last. And if the sex is sorry, the last, you know, relationship ain't going to last either, because quasi's kept, I'm just being honest, if I'm in a relationship with somebody and you don't perpetrate, like, you're going to rock my world and do all this shit, and you know, but a little fizzle and don't do nothing for me, I'm sorry, I'm going to cheat. Hello, I'm telling the truth, you know. So you got to service me right. You know, let me tell you what I want from you. If you up for this task, okay, let's do this thing. You know, if you open to compromise about other things, let's do this thing. So, you know, I'm cool like that. But, you know, I'm not keep talking about me, because I got enough people already in my business, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, back to Megan and Sakara. How y'all doing, ladies?
Oh, fine. You know, and another thing I think, you know, in relation to religion is that I think it's funny, you know, a lot of the time, the woman is supposed to be this perfect, virginal, lily white, you know, not sexual at all until she gets married, until her wedding night, and then she's supposed to turn into this, you know, whore, you know, nymph, you know, for her husband. And so for me, I've been all about, you know, women discovering what makes them feel good, you know, and really enjoying it. Not, I don't even like the word whore, you know, because to me, a whore is somebody who doesn't really enjoy it. They're more doing it for, to get a man or for money or, you know, power or whatever. And to me, I love words like, you know, playgirl or, you know, domina, you know, I mean, goddess. And
that's right,
why can't the man be a whore for the woman once in a while? You know?
I don't like that word either, Quasis Kemp. I don't like that word whore, and I don't like the word bitch, and I'm gonna tell you why. Because I want to leave bitch with the dogs. That's a female dog. I don't have puppies. I don't walk on four legs. So, you know, when I see people calling each other bitches and they friends, I don't get down like that. Don't call me a bitch. I'll be ready to fight your ass. Okay,
we don't
get like that, you know.
Yeah.
And whore, like you said, to me, it gives a nasty taste in my mouth. It's like somebody, you know, who let anybody do it to her. Her ass ain't clean, you know. She got a purpose. Sometimes she get paid. Sometimes she don't. No, I'm not a whore. I'm a fucking lady. I might be a freak, but I'm a fucking lady. You know what I'm saying? Y'all better find some new adjectives to describe me, but whore and bitch ain't one of them.
That's right. You go. You go, Charity.
Well, I see Lucky has another question too, and Shalonda. Whichever one of y'all want to ask y'all a question first, be my guest.
Go ahead, Shalonda.
I was sitting here and Chilla just looking at the website. I want to touch on, I see that y'all had a book called Miss Rodica, and that seems... Mm-hmm. It seems like that would be something that I would like, Miss Rodica. Not necessarily, I'm not into the like the erotical books and things, but that one right there caught my eye because, you know, I grew up with an uncle that was huge into mythology, and he would tell me all these stories and everything, and I'd sit there through all of them like little, I guess the good little niece who didn't want him to feel like he was like pushed to the side. So this, it's always interesting to me, the mythology. And I see that, could you explain like some of your Miss Rodica stories or books that you had? I see this one, Greek Miss Rodica, Volume 1, Volume 3.
Yes, yes, and really, you know, when you think about it, mythology is very sexy. You know, when you look at Miss Rodica, some of the greatest romances, you know, there, whether you're talking about the romances of Aphrodite or, and if you look also at the fascination today, like the Thor, you know, is a very sensual figure, especially when Chris Hemsworth plays him, you know, it's like and so we decided to take it a step farther in our Mithraica books. You know, we really let the reader see what went on, you know, between the gods and the goddesses. And we also play up, of course, you know, the power of the goddesses, you know, and their powers beyond the bedroom. And, you know, so, yeah. And so, yeah, that's kind of the concept. And, yeah, Sakara, I know that, you know, that was kind of how we started out, you know, was by really delving into Mithraica.
Yeah, it's been quite an adventure, you know, doing this Mithraica project. I think my body of work, my spiritual walk, aligns so much with working with the Divine Mother and the Divine Father. And so... when I finished writing the first book, there was this time that I was just like, I don't know what else. I feel like there's more to come out. And
Sakara, can I break in for a minute, please? Because I just want to clarify something before we get too far into your story.
Sure.
When you say the Divine Mother, are you talking about the Virgin Mary and the Divine Father? Are you talking about Jehovah God, or are you talking about...
Absolutely.
I am talking
about, like, the Virgin Mother. Yeah.
Okay.
And
okay.
I'm also talking about, you know, Mother Earth. Mother Earth as a being,
okay.
And recognizing ourselves as sentient beings too, in relation with her. So, yeah, that, you know, in that work, I didn't realize that there was such a strong social feminist movement that Meg and I would undertake through the Mithraticas, because what we've done is actually create a dimension to mythology. Most of the stories that you read out there are very two-dimensional. Zeus comes down to Earth, turns into a cow, impregnates a bunch of women. Bam! Isn't he a badass?
Well, let me ask y'all a question. Are either one of y'all married or both y'all married?
Neither.
Okay,
I'm divorced.
Okay, the reason I got this question because, okay, y'all sitting here together and y'all working on the book together, you know, I guess both y'all got the same ability to edit as well. Have it ever been a time when y'all sitting here and y'all writing and y'all thoughts are like, you know, like on point with each other, and then y'all turn around, look at each other, like have that moment like, ooh, girl, I want to.
You see the book on.
That's where you're going, Terry.
Terry, the only way that could happen, the only way that could happen is via Skype.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Because Megan and I have never even met, and we've got this amazing working relationship. Yeah,
oh,
man.
Wow.
Well, it's like we're picking up from where we left off.
Okay, I'll be quiet.
I've got you too, baby.
I do believe I can speak for both of us. We are both painfully heterosexual. I adore her, but we're both really heterosexual.
Okay.
It's so funny to get asked this question so much. I guess they think that if two women obviously like sex, well, they must obviously be fucking each other too.
Well, I know that not to be true, because me and Lucky have been really tight since we were very young.
We've done it in the same room, but we haven't touched each other. It's never even been a question.
I guess we too focused on the men in the room.
Yeah.
I'll be forgetting she even there.
Yeah, until you start watching.
Oh, yeah, until I start watching.
Hey, man, that's good.
I'm still
like
not
to watch
necessarily
too.
Watching you. I'm still not necessarily watching you. I'm watching the experience.
Yes, I understand that. You want to see what's going on.
I'm going to try to behave. Okay, Sakari, go ahead and be what you were saying, darling.
I think we've forgotten our train of thought. What's that like?
Oh, the Miss Veronica.
Well, basically, you know, through Mithraticka, we've allowed the women to come through, and we've allowed dimensions to happen. You know, when we talk about Zeus coming down, don't you think that Hera, his wife, might be a little bit pissed off, you know? And so through these stories, we see these goddesses really claiming their power and their place and just turning their backs on these gods, and it makes the gods have to, like, step up. And so they come into certain levels of self-awareness. And so the Mithraticka stories are actually centered around themes like forgiveness and understanding. And it's been fun. Oh, my God, it's been so hot to write these stories. And Aphrodite just does really well in the UK. I don't know. She must have, like, some really hot energy over there.
Yes. And also, you know, like we were talking about earlier, if there's a certain god, you know, that maybe a woman has fantasized about most of her life, whether it is, you know, Thor or Adonis or Ares or whatever, and we really want to add a little, you know, I mean, literally flesh it out for her, you know, to kind of take her behind the bedroom door, you know, and to kind of, so it's a lot of fun, and we hope to do more of those books in the future.
Yeah. They seem really interesting.
Mount Olympus is
not
play. I'll just say that.
Well, let me ask y'all ladies this. Do any one of y'all have a poem, erotic poem that's handy? It doesn't have to be short. I want y'all to take y'all time and emphasize on different areas so we can get the full effect and get all turned turned on listening to it. I mean, I want y'all to do y'all thing.
You want poetry, or do you want us to actually read from some of our work?
You could do either or, as long as it's hot and sensual and we can visualize it. We don't want hoity-toity. We want graphic.
Panties combust, Terry. Go ahead.
Well,
first.
Yeah, I've got something here from, we did a book, and this is actually a very important book for a lot of reasons. Tune for Triton is something that we released earlier this year, and we actually released it as a fundraiser in conjunction with B-Day, February 14th. And that's the day that the playwright Eve Insler created to deal with the issue of violence against women and girls in our world. And so we actually did a fundraising book, and to this day, you know, if you go on Amazon and buy Two for Triton, 50% of the proceeds will go to the V-Day Foundation help women and girls victimized by violence. And so in this excerpt I have now, Triton is a sea god. He's the son of the Greek god Poseidon. And in my story, just like I was talking about earlier, you know, you have a female captain, you know, who swoops in to help him. And her name is Xena. And so I've got, Xena's eyes flew wide as she beheld a vast panorama of seaborne delights, vibrant lines of coral colored gold and lavender, water lilies, every hue of the rainbow, and the divine reflection of the golden sun as it kissed the waters above them. Yet even these ebullient nature-made visions did nothing to rival the beauty of her dance partner, a man who now bowed low before her as he brought the dance to a close. Soon the couple floated still in the water, staring deep into one another's eyes as their fellow and sister dancers scattered around them. The moment they were alone, he once again swept her up in his arms, this time covering her mouth in a hot, binding kiss. Their mouths moved against one another and their tongues entangled as they lost themselves in passion, their roaming hands also mirroring the tender rhythm of the waves around them. Xena gasped with excitement as her hungry hands canvassed his massive chest, dropping also to rub the surface of his flawless chiseled abs. Finally, she dared to touch the long, smooth fin that felt silken to the touch, gritting in spite of herself as it angled upward in response to her touch. "That's it, love," Triton whispered, tone low and hypnotic. "Enjoy me. Enjoy my body. I long to make love to you here and now, in my kingdom of the sea. I long to show you the full and true magic of the water. I want to show you more pleasure than you've ever known. I'm yours to take." Even as she trembled at his words of seduction, Xena's eyes took a skeptical walk down the length of his aquiline form. "As heavenly as that sounds, I must ask you," she pursed her lips in what seemed a show of keen curiosity, "just how does a dude with a fin make love to a woman?" She released her breath as Triton seized her in a tight, impassioned embrace, searing her lips with a white-hot kiss before drawing back to stare into her eyes. "I'd far rather show you how a god makes love to a woman," he breathed. "Do allow me to demonstrate." Pulling her body closer than close, Triton wrapped his silky fin around her legs as he continued to kiss her senseless. His hands, meanwhile, stroked her sturdy back until she relaxed in his arms, also tickling his way down her sensitive sides before rubbing and kneading her buxom thighs. Finally, his touch became more intimate, and she sighed with delight as his fingers stole beneath the surface of her smart teal swimsuit, coaxing open the tender doors of her sacred feminine paradise. She let loose with a sharp sigh as his fingers toyed with her sleek, wet opening, slipping inside to stroke the walls of her blessed womanly sanctum. "You are a goddess," Triton whispered against her lips, continuing to kiss her as he stroked the embers of her long-withheld desire. "Let me love you as a goddess should be loved." Retrieving his conch shell with his free hand, Triton positioned the instrument at his lips to blow the notes of a seductive tune, his other hand continuing to stroke and caress her pussy, creating a warm, sensational pressure that covered her being with shards of erotic ecstasy. Then finally, he hit the spot. With the cry of a siren, Xena's body exploded in the heat of an explosive orgasm, one that reverberated from the core of her feminine area to radiate throughout her entire body. In her mind's eye, the waves around her radiated with exotic hues. At one point, the waters turned scarlet red to signify their passion. The next, they shone a lovely lavender in celebration of her divine femininity. Triton cradled her body as she quaked and trembled in his arms. Finally, he swept her off her feet and floated toward a certain destination. "I'm taking you home, goddess," he growled in her ear, "home to the palace of Poseidon."
Well, girl, let me say this. Thank you for that. But you know some, y'all need to have us a threesome. Let me add some flavor to that shit because, girl, I'm saying, as he put his dick up in there, oh, her body as she couldn't contain herself. Oh, as she slipped to the floor.
We could add the goddess Terry.
I'm just tripping. Oh, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness. but it's good to see a story, a plot and stuff introduce in a nice way the sexuality of a story. Because back in the day, man, I used to grow up on Harlequin romances, and they never kind of went there, you know, and I always wonder when that good-looking guy on the cover is going to, you know, just take that thing, you know, they kissing and anticipating, but, you know, I appreciate y'all ladies going a next step, but I tell you what, if Shalonda and Lucky and me, I joined y'all on one of those boogies, baby, y'all to another plateau. Oh, my goodness. But now we have Lucky. She has her hand up. She has a question. Lucky, go ahead, darling.
Well, that was so long ago. My question has long since slipped my mind. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry about that.
Okay. I know it was something to do with eroticism and not touching, but I can't remember what the question was. If I remember, I'll stick my hand up again.
Okay. Eroticism and not touching. Yeah. But we had that guest on our show who said that he could talk to you and make you climax about touching you, some of the chakras in your body or something. You know, I can admit that a guy can talk to me and he can sound sexy and he can say, "Ooh, girl," you know, he made me want him because with his voice as well as his look, you know, I'm liking that. But you know, ain't nobody just gonna talk to me. I'm gonna come. You know, you think what you want to think, okay? You might make me feel like I've done it. With some guy.
Yeah. I mean, I know I've had experiences where I can see a particularly, because I'm very visual, and like if I can see a picture, if I see a picture of a really gorgeous man, or if I see one in person, or if I happen to see a lover of mine, there are times when I have been able to come, you know, without even anything happening yet, you know, just that sort of exhilaration, you know, of seeing.
If you want that sensation again, girlfriend, go to Alan, A-L-A-N, Roger, R-O-G-R-I-E. Come up and tell you, I'll send you, and he will make you drop your drawers before the hour is up.
Right.
We've had the experience with Mr. Curry, yes. We,
him and Lucky related.
Him. We know him, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, because you scared the mess out of Gail.
Yeah, I don't think he was as scared as she was as scared as she put on.
yeah, he was hard on his sister, man. A good time he was talking about, I don't do no threesome, man. He was saying, then why you call? Tell me how you like it. Touch yourself, Gail. Hit that pussy. He was talking that.
You want it, Gail? Tell me you want to. So I want you to push me.
All right. It made me laugh. I mean, that was a great show, and that's the largest view so far. That one show, man. He's a good guy to check out his stuff because, as well, you know, he might give you something that you might want to, you know, think about to put in your future books. And you know, erotic is erotic. And there's another woman out there, Jay Bryan, a personal friend of mine. She do an erotic website. So, you know, it's good when y'all mix together. And, you know, and there's another guy out there I got introduced to by Gail. It was guy, he was from Louisiana, Dr., what was his name? Daddy Devane. Daddy Devane.
Yeah, Daddy Devane.
Yeah, and he's cool. This brother's over 6, man. He's got muscles in his chest and shit, looking hot. I'd be saying, damn, are you sure you that old? I mean, he'd be looking good, and he'd be talking all mm-hmm. deep and stuff.
And he's got that voice, too.
Yeah,
got that
another
voice.
Guy, Jason Harrison, he said he can use your chakras to make you come, and, you know, you'd be on the computer, and he can make you do it that way. But you know, son, Quasi kept. Don't waste your money on that one. You know, I'm going to tell you why. You know, this guy, I said, okay, you know, I got to check it out before I make him my guest, right? So we go on Skype and shit, you know, and he said, okay, I'll see his picture. And then he said, close your eyes. Now for 30 minutes, just take a deep breath and just relax. Okay, I ain't hear nothing fucking else. I said, what the hell? I'm done. What the hell? Oh, you what? Damn.
He didn't say anything else at all?
He didn't say shit. I mean, I was going to sleep.
Oh, God.
Oh, so, you know, Jason Harrison, I'm calling y'all on that one. You took my money and ran with it, but you won't get no damn more. Okay, but, you know, I'm just trying to do my research. He said, just take a deep breath, relax. He ain't say nothing else. The screen was blank. And I'm sitting here in my chair, leaning back. I'm getting ready to start snoring shit until I guess the time was up, you know. But I say, man, that's bullshit. And you ain't giving me no energy. I ain't feeling nothing. I need you to talk to me while that 30 minutes is going to make my money seem like it's worth it. But, you know, I'm getting off track here. But it's all about y'all ladies today. Hi, Megan, Sakara. I'm so glad that y'all are here. Let me stop because you read a part of your book. But now I want you, one of you ladies, to read one of your poems.
Hey, Miss Terry, this is poetry. You write few short stories and entire works of fiction.
Can you speak up a little bit loud, darling?
Well, I wanted to
let you know that we don't actually write poetry. We've had other authors who brought in poetry, but I have something that I wanted to bring from our Mythrotica line.
Okay.
So are you all familiar with the story of Medusa?
Yes, with the snakes in the head and everything?
Exactly. But, you know, she didn't start off that way, actually. And we had to go through – I had to go through some real deep research to find the original story of Medusa. And so this is the reason why Medusa now has snakes in her hair. So I'm going to read this. This comes from – our anthology, Legends of Royalty, and it's 10.
Yeah, after you read that, I want you to know that we do have a caller on the line in the queue whose last digit is 7250. They got a comment or a question they're going to ask you after you read your poetry, darling.
All right, let's do it. Okay.
All right.
So let's begin. So this one is called Medusa and Poseidon, and the theme is about choices. Poseidon, what you ask of me is banishment from the temple. I'll be breaking my vow, and for what? He assessed her beautiful, concerned face. He was awestruck at her loveliness and beauty, barely able to restrain himself from ravaging her. Still he proceeded slowly, bent on bringing her seduction to a head. Medusa, I told you before you must choose. I cannot make that decision for you. I want you, body, heart, mind, and soul. No one has ever touched my heart as you have, and I would walk away from my kingdom to have you by my side. She was quiet, processing her words. Is this a trick? Are you just trying to get back at Athena? Because if you are, I want none of it. He stepped back, a look of hurt crossing his eyes. You dare say that to me after all that I have done? I dare say that to you because you are a great trickster, and my training makes me wary of you. All I ask is a kiss, and then you decide whether your heart leads you away from me or towards me. Studying him, she contemplated his words. What could a kiss hurt? I've never been kissed before, and the way his luscious lips look, damn. She leaned upwards on her tiptoes and placed a sweet chaste kiss against his cheek. Blushing furiously, she stepped back and looked away. Poseidon laughed. She really was quite breathtaking in her innocence and purity. He brought her closer to him. If you're going to kiss me, do it right. He bent his head and claimed her, passionately taking her full lips in his and licking his tongue across her closed opening. Feeling her gasp, he dove his tongue into her mouth, bent on finding her tongue and teasing her with soft, playful licks. Her mouth opened to receive him in a sigh, and he plundered, ravishing her mouth with a groan as he sucked her lower lip and brought her body flushed against his. He kissed her with a ravenous greed of a hungry man, invoking her body to respond in a rush of desire. He kissed her as if his life depended on it. He poured every emotion and sensation into that kiss, inviting her to respond with an ardent moan. See, he pulled back, breathing heavily. Do you feel how much I want to? He brought her hand against his hard erection, which pulsated and jumped at her touch. Her eyes widened with fear as she snatched her hand back. She had never felt the touch of another, and to feel his member coming alive under her hand erupted a volatile sensation of lust and longing deep inside of her. I don't know what to feel now, Poseidon, she responded shakily. What you are asking me is something I have no experience in. I'm afraid to disappoint you, and where will that leave me? He smiled gently, his hands running surreptitiously up and down her back. He watching the conflicts of emotion run over her face, he traced her jaw with his finger, leaving a trail of fire in its wake. I can't imagine that you would disappoint, my sweet. I've watched and wanted you for so long. Even with that kiss, I know it will be the most beautiful lovemaking I could ever ask for. All that I ask is that you give me a chance. A chance at what? A chance to make you feel good. Look, Poseidon, I don't think this is a good idea. I gave you a kiss. Isn't that enough? He laughed softly. You think giving me a kiss is enough to dissuade me? You've given me a taste of what I desire the most, and you think that I'm satisfied. Don't you understand, Medusa? One touch of your lips, and I am hooked. I want more. I don't think I can give you more. He studied her firm resistance. She was a tough one. Most maidens gave up easily at the touch of his lips, but he could sense her conflict and desire to remain a pure maiden. He tried one last tactic. You are far too fair to be hidden in these walls. Your beauty outshines all the other maidens and priestesses here. Your beauty even surpasses Aphrodite, Hera, and Athena combined. She gasped in surprise and shock. How can you say that about the goddesses? He smiled, sensing her outrage. I speak only the truth, Medusa. You're the loveliest and most beguiling maiden in all of Greece. I would even dare to say the entire world, but that's not why I want you. I want you because of what resides in here. Placing his hand against her heaving heart, he shot a bolt of electrical energy through her skin. making her pulse race with excitement and desire. He felt her breath catch as she experienced a wave of lustful sensation coursing through her. As the god of the sea, he also controlled the water molecules in the body and could imprint his intention in its matrix. He imprinted raw, carnal desire, willing her to respond. "Poseidon," she whispered softly, her heart racing with need. "I don't know how to fight you any longer." "Then don't. Let me make love to you, sweet maiden. Let me elevate you to the goddess that you are. Let me make my promise real." "Yes," she breathed softly. All resistance was gone, and she melted against his touch. Pulling back, Poseidon removed the cloak that covered her, leaving her encased in her soft white tunic. With deft fingers, he unfastened the clasps that held her tunic together and watched with anticipation and wonder as the garment slid effortlessly down her body. He gasped at her full nude frame.
Okay, we ain't trying to read the whole book. Okay, just hold on for a minute. Now, I want to make some points clear. You said that Medusa, if people know in the Greek mythology, she was a lady that had all the snakes in her head. Now, you were talking about her and Poseidon, the king of the ocean and stuff. So, you know, I'm thinking, you know, he wants some and she ain't trying to get none. But, you know, what she don't understand is if he give her some, her thing will pop like a blowhole in a whale. So I'm thinking you said that all of a sudden, that now, you know, she got them snakes in her head. Is that really not
that's not reason, how she looks.
But penises around her head and everything, and that give us a new term to when somebody call you a dickhead? I'm just asking a question people want to know. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we just think of snakes. Maybe it's penises just swarming around, you know, because a lot of times they use snake as a euphemism when
that's
they said, well, you put this little snake up in you, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. Maybe we ain't seeing the whole picture. But
trouser
I like
snake.
That.
We'll see. The whole picture is that most people don't realize that she was a priestess in the Athena temple. And that the reason why she looks like the snake-headed demon is that she was cursed. And this is the reason for that curse.
Because she gave it up.
She was raped, actually.
She was raped. She was mentally manipulated by Poseidon. And this is
the scene. She was raped by Poseidon, and that was Athena's punishment for her violation. Because Athena said that she seduced Poseidon.
Oh, well,
it was actually the other way around.
I'm going to tell you to check your facts on that because I studied Greek mythology growing up with my brother who was taking courses in Greek mythology, and he is as into Greek mythology as anybody that you could come across in this world. And I'm telling you that when Medusa was raped by Poseidon and she was punished and cursed by Athena because Athena said that she seduced him. So I'm going to tell you to recheck your facts as well as anybody else that wants to do it. If you do the research, you will find it. Recheck your facts. Open an Encyclopedia Britannica or something. I know that they're a bit outdated, but go to the library and do some serious research because I'm going to tell you to check your facts on that. That is one of my favorite stories from Greek mythology.
I had just read a paragraph where I basically explained what Poseidon did. As god of the sea is about water. Water holds the emotions. That's exactly what he did. He manipulated and raped her. And because of that, it turned into her getting banished from the temple. And that's but it was also her pride at being vain to be compared with the goddesses. You know, he did a lot of mind tricks to break her down. She was a very high priestess. We're going to hold that lesson in Greek mythology.
Do you have a follow with a question?
Yeah, we got a guest on the line, so we're going to hold that Greek mythology lesson. You can read it for yourself in encyclopedia, go online, search engine, and I'm sure it can give you some information. But this call at last four digits is 7250. Are you there?
Yeah, hi. Hey, Megan, Sakara, I love that mythology story. Thank you for writing it. It's the kind of stories we need to be listening to and paying attention to.
Who are we talking to?
Oh, thank you. Tony Barca.
Okay.
I'm so glad I called, and I want to support you in that kind of stuff. How are you, my lovely? There you go.
Hi, how are you?
Brilliant, brilliant story, very important story, because it is about 10,000 years of rapes, and it is about how women have been against women and falsifying evidence, mothers denying their daughters that they're being molested, and it goes on and on and on.
Wow.
So that is a hell of a story that we need to take seriously. I understand your, it was an interesting idea of the phallic in the head, but priapus is something that we have also that we can look at in terms of the phallic symbols used for the last, what, 10,000 years, lady, I think? So we have that, but with the whole story of Medusa, which, by the way, I never knew that story. I think it's absolutely brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because I'm working on a new version of Lilith, you know, because we've demonized her, and I'm trying to rewrite the story of Lilith. I'm working on the project right now. So it's
good.
Interesting how we're all on the same wavelength of taking these ancient stories, kind of like Mists of Avalon. Remember Morgana?
Yeah.
Mists of Avalon, it was one of the great books. Great movie that retells the story of Morgana, the evil witch who gives birth to her you know, King Arthur's son. They're siblings, and it's retold through her eyes and how she's manipulated into being impregnated by her own brother. So those are the stories that we're telling, and thank God, ladies, for that story of Medusa. I never heard of it, so thank you for. I'm so glad I called.
Nice to see you as well. That's wonderful.
That's the thing that. I'm really trying to impress through the world is through
mm-hmm.
my study of metaphysics is that water is really important. You know, the waters of our planet, that holds the emotions of our planet. And
mm-hmm.
some people believe that, but in mm-hmm. recreating these stories, we're reactivating that genetic molecule of this information. We're healing it by rewriting it in a different way.
Yeah.
It was about choices, you know?
Right.
Yes,
right.
She was raped and she had to carry this burden with her. She looked ugly on the outside because she felt violated.
Yeah.
You know? And
wow.
so it
yeah.
gives us an opportunity to have compassion for her for what
totally.
Happened. It's like carrying this vibration of like, well, she's evil and she looks like that, and when you look at her, she turns you to stone.
Yeah, yeah, and it's mostly the warriors coming in to do what they're doing. It's funny because when I was hearing you, I was kind of thinking about Clarissa Pinkola Estes's book, Women Who Run with the Wolves, where she took all of the fairy tales from the Western European fairy tales and using Jungian, approach, well, I mean, she's a Jungian psychologist, broke down the fairy tales on how it really was a mind fuck, no offense, to our heads as girls.
Oh, no, you got to say, baby.
You know, like the red shoes or the handless maiden, and the stories go on, and it blows your mind because as a kid you're not really realizing what's going on with these little stories, your fairy tales. That you're being basically it's a brainwash, and so it's very interesting the subtle ways that as women we've been manipulated and subjugated through various interesting means. And so when we take the stories and we retell the stories through our eyes and our own experiences, we are, like you're saying, clearing up and washing away, you know, the lies and reframing it in a way that's going to help our men become better men.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say, if anybody want to talk to our guests, Megan and Shakara, call in at 347-945-6003. We're going to take a little small station break and come back, and we're going to continue with the questions from Shalanda, our caller who just called in, and Lucky, and we're going to wrap it up and have the ladies say how that we can get a hold of them. And just hang in with us. We'll be back in 2 and 2.
Voila. Thank God it's Friday night and I just got
of the posse, jump in my ride, radio rocking, hottest jam, feel the rhythm, pump up the sound, feeling so good, don't you know I'm just grooving to the beat, grooving, yeah, grooving, oh, 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 just got paid.
On the mic, yo, I'm unstoppable, and it's probable. When you hear our voices laid down, you be bobbing your head to this girl type sound. I knew you thought that you had more like that. Check is in the mail, I got it made. And when you notice some smiles, like cool, cause I just got paid.
On the floor,
my
feet through the beat,
yeah.
Hey, always.
You on a little secret. She writes books. She has her own perfume line. If you want to catch her at www.terrylle.com. If you want to listen on next time, Friday at 7:30. See you later.
Well, I just want to add to that note that I also have a men's line, and my first one off the men's line is called Hot Stuff, and right now I'm running a sale. My 3.4 ounces of cologne and perfume is only $40, and the lotion is $20, and the travel sizes are $20 because I'm selling them below cost, so I get y'all hooked to the fragrance. But then after that, it's got to go back to 60 and 20. But right now they're on sale, so I'll give y'all a little taste of what's going on with me. And that song that played was NSYNC. It's Friday night, just got paid. You know, it's Friday night, but I don't have no damn money in my pocket. I spent all of mine at the store buying groceries. But I don't know about you. I welcome anybody want to put some back in there to fill it back up. But our special guest tonight is Megan and Shakara, and these are erotic writers. And it's just good to talk to these ladies because, you know, a lot of us has been exposed to porno and books that display a lot of sex and everything. But, you know, when you get into the mindset of the writers, it kind of like lets you know that we're normal. Everybody that's very sensual or sexual, it's okay. You don't have to be afraid to be labeled some nasty little name like whore or bitch because you like sex. We are supposed to. God gave us these organs so we can feel everything that's there to be felt, you know, and some people have fetishes. They do a little thing that I don't do, and, you know, I don't judge. You know, what you do is what you do. What I do is what I do. But, you know, at the end, you know, at the bottom line, I'm just basically trying to say is, you know, you don't have to be ashamed to experiment sexually with your partner. Do what you feel comfortable with. And if something you're not comfortable with, go ahead and try it because you might like it, shit, you know. So we were talking about, you know, different things you can do to spice up your love life, you know, like that candy, Pop Rocks, for instance, you know, put it in your mouth, suck his penis, he going to be on fire, put it in her and put in her pussy, she going to like it because, she going to be exploding and she don't know what the hell to grab hold to. If you got a Nestle Crunch bar, stick it up in there, that chocolate will melt, and that little Rice Krispies stuff will turn her on, and he will have some good eating stuff. He won't say, ooh, this shit tastes good. Go on, girl. You know, so, you know, do what you got to do. Use a cucumber. Use beads, you know. It's all right to use props and toys and food. Do what you got to do, and don't worry about what somebody else thinks because the person that you're doing it with, they're going to be out of there. Fucking mind, and they're going to keep coming back. But with that being said, I just don't want to come back by just making it. I can't even spit it out. Sakara, how y'all doing, baby?
Hey, that's great.
You know, I just go on my little thing, man, and sometimes my co-host, Shalani, got to pull me back, but she just let me out there hanging in the wind, but that's all right.
Just let you go with it. Get it off your chest.
Yeah, I had to. I see you got a question. And what we're going to do, we're going to let Shalonda ask a question. The other guest that called in, 7250, but she has a comment or question. And then Lucky. And then we're going to let y'all ladies share with us how to get a hold of you, how to, you know, contact you with your websites and, you know, media sites so we can help contribute, you know, because we don't care whether it's PayPal, we don't care whether it's major credit cards, you know. Just do what you got to do. Support these sisters because they're giving you a little Greek mythology along with the romance. She's giving us something that we ain't been too familiar with. But, you know, we got to fraternize and support these sisters because it's because of their mindset and these other writers out here that keeps us entertained and keep us being in the know because we're not afraid to put it out there in print. So we're going to start with my co-host, Shalonda. Is there anything you would like to say, darling?
Right. I do want to – I did have a question I've been waiting to ask to Sakara. What exactly is an energy practitioner? Could you explain that in, like, a little short snap?
Sure.
What was the question?
What is an energy practitioner?
Oh, okay.
Well, I have been working with this body of knowledge that is called integrated energy therapy for over 8 years now. And basically, it's just using the body's systems, the physical layer, and then looking at the other layers of the body, the emotional, the mental, the spiritual layer, to work as a system and work as a whole. And so as an energy worker, I work with the organs, I work with the DNA, I work with meridians and chakras. And so in this body of work, we often pull out blockages related to past traumas, negative experiences, patterns out of our organs where we hold things like fear, anger, stress, powerlessness, abandonment. And so when you work with the energy field, you basically affect the whole entire person as a whole. It changes their whole outlook. It changes their DNA in a way. It changes the way they think, they feel, and they really step into another level of power and purpose in their life.
Let me ask you a question, Sakara. I'm not going to pretend that I understand clearly what you're saying, but for me and other people, explain what you mean when we say chakras.
So chakras are a Indian or an old Vedic term to represent the power centers in our body. There are basically seven areas in our bodies that are called power centers. They generate life for us. If they are not working, we are not alive. And if you look into other fields of knowledge like Eastern medicine, where they show the meridian channels, basically you have points in your body that have energy that runs through it. Energy, whether it be in the form of electricity, energy, whether it's in the form of the molecules or water or even just thought. So when these chakras are open and they're functioning, you know, let's say the first one is the root chakra and it moves all the way up to the top of your head, your crown. When these are functioning, then your body is running at its healthiest. Your emotions are balanced. You're mentally clear. You're living at your optimum capacity. When they're not, you experience dis-ease depending on different parts of your body. Your mind carries certain thought mental patterns. You seem to re-experience the same things over and over in your lives. Well, it's because our power centers are running the show.
Okay, are you saying it's possible, like for people who have chronic pain, if they were to tune in to those areas of the chakras, that they can manipulate those where they don't have physical pain and they can stop taking all this medicine? Because, you know, I have chronic pain, and I take a lot of pills, and that really irritates me. And some days are better than others, and sometimes when it's cold or wet, then I feel real miserable and tight and agitated. Is there a way I can massage my chakra, you know, and I can eliminate some pain from my body?
Well, I will say this. I have been a nurse, a registered nurse, for over 15 years. And for me to advise you to ever stop medical treatment would be unhealthy for you. And so I feel that energy work is conjunctive with Western and Eastern practices. The best thing to do to receive that is to find a practitioner that lives around you or to connect with somebody who's remote healing. Because the best thing you can do is really just allow yourself to relax and step aside. And so when an energy worker comes and works on you, they're bringing energy from above, okay? That could be source, God, whatever you want to call it. For me, I work with the Creator, and I work with the angels, and I work with the Most High in being able to access your body. If you're having chronic pain, yes, your chakras will show whether or not there are certain parts of your body that's open or closed. Your organs will also show that. Your muscles will also show that. So that is one part of working with your whole body as a whole system.
Yeah, well, wow, I want to get into that a little bit more in detail. But we got the other caller, 7250, on here. Darling, is there something you would like to say or make a comment before we get up out of here?
Oh, you're asking me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, no, everything resonates because I'm also, you know, someone who's a seeker and looking at alternative ways of living. And the irony is it's alternative, and they're calling it New Age, and it's been called that since the 70s, but in truth, it's ancient. It's actually older than anything we know that we accept in our society today is old. It's older than old. And so with that said, it's probably the best wisdom. Like right now I'm reading the Kabbalion, this book on the three initiates, the masters, on things that you saw probably, if you guys saw The Secret, the show, the movie, The Secret, it's based on the Emerald Tablet. So there's these ancient concepts of the chakras and the, you know, the meridians and the way the body works and how we're all energy. And it's funny because Einstein believed in that. He was a scientist who also was a spiritualist, and that's why he was a great scientist. You know, he dreamed up EMC square out of a dream. And subsequently, all the mathematicians broke down the, you know. So my point being is that, but he trusted it, you know what I mean, from a dream.
Right.
So with that said, we keep forgetting how powerful each of us as individuals are in our own healing, you know. And illness, if you look at Louise Hay's book on, what is it, Healing Your Life, or every aspect of hurt, like lungs is grief, the heart is heartbreak. And you look at the back, lower back going out means you don't feel supported. All of these funny little things that we have in our bodies are actually testaments to how we're feeling ourselves. So our body basically reflects our inner reality. how we feel about the world, how we feel inside, how our you know, our heart is breaking.
I agree, because when you're happy, you resonate happiness and you draw that kind of positive energy. But, you know, some, I like what she said about the chakras, because, you know, people might laugh about this, but everybody can say they've heard before, like, when you having sex, they say, oh, my back is hurting. But when you start having sex, your back don't hurt at all. You don't feel nothing. So I'm thinking it's engaging these chakras or something. So it got to be some truth to that, because your mind can take you somewhere, you know, and you don't even think about your body hurting. Because, you know I had a massive backache one time, you know, and I was saying no to this guy because I said, no, I ain't trying to do my back hurt. You know, but anyway, he kept funneling me and the shit was feeling good. So I gave in. That's what I thought I gave in. But anyway, we got in the mix of that shit, man. I said, pow, pow. You know, it was good. My back was moving like I was a damn trampoline or a flipper or somebody. I said, wow, get the hell out. So I need to investigate this chakra.
He balanced your chakras. Is what he did. He balanced your chakras. He threw them up in the air.
I know that's why I
just caught him.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay, Miss Lucky, darling, go here. You got your little comment or a statement you'd like to add?
Yeah, well I'm an absolute believer in whole body healing and holistic healing, and I also believe they go hand in hand. So it's good information for people to have, and I'm glad that was brought up. And I've enjoyed being on the show as always. I thank you all for allowing me to be a part of it. It's been very informative and a lot of fun. And we had a few good little erotic moments there, so that was kind of cool. as always, I'm very happy to meet your guests, and I'm going to go to the website and see what they have to offer, and thank you all for being a part of the show.
Oh, thank you.
Yes,
now, Megan, is there something you would like to say, you or Sakara in conjunction? But Megan, you haven't spoken, so I'm going to go to you first.
Yes, well, we invite everybody to come and join the Metaphysical Erotica community at metaphysicalerotica.com. And we also have a Facebook and Twitter. And it's really something that we like to think of as a movement. We want everybody to get involved. You know, Tony, for example, is one of our wonderful writers who's collaborated with us on the book Lovers. And, you can also, I have a website as well at goldenmuse.tripod.com. And you can also find me at Dusk TV, D-U-S-K, which is actually a women's porno network.
Cool.
And so
all right now.
So if you would like to come join me in selecting erotic films, you know, for this women's network, please do. And, and I just want to say that, we really, to us, it's about more than just writing dirty stories. I mean, that's part of it, a big part of it, of course. but beyond that, it's about empowering women, empowering people, improving relationships, putting an end to slut shaming and miscommunication. And we have a message, and we invite everyone to join us.
Well, I want to let y'all ladies know that I know this young lady called Gail, and I asked her, could she put one of my poems and read it and put her little spin to it, and she made that thing hot. So I give her kudos for that, because this chick, she can moan, so her chakras must be full-blown wide open because she don't need no help. And I'm going to play this for y'all as we take ourselves out of here, but y'all stay on here, Sakara and Megan, and listen to Mrs. Elden Johnson, because you're going to be surprised. She's going to take y'all work, and she adds her little spin to it, and you'll be saying, what? Here we go, the down low.
The down low. When you told me that you were coming over, I was so excited, but I felt guilty, as if I was going to faint on the spot. It seems like forever that I've adored you from a distance. My heart smiles every time I see your face. I rush home so fast to prepare for your visit. Hot bubble bath, scented candles, soft red light complemented by beautiful slow music on the radio. I cut up small pieces of watermelon so I could tantalize and feed her supple lips with the sweet, moist, savory fruit. My dream girl finally arrives. I slide slowly off the bed that later will tell the story of our hot, passionate sexual encounter with the intensity of rabbits in heat. As she leaned forward against my bed, I came from behind while my hands began to grope her pussy and squeeze her body. Pulling her closer to me, I pressed into her velvet skin, trying to merge our flesh into one as she began to remove the scanty articles of clothing. Fully nude, she climbed into my bed as if a lioness on the prowl and lay there in her nakedness. I felt tightness in my chest. I knew I must not fail to satisfy her, not wanting it to be the last time. Caught up in the modest shyness that I so cleverly concealed behind the scented chiffon scarf that covered her eyes, I looked at her nipples, waiting for my mouth to devour them and her pussy to lavish over. As my fingers slide inwards, my tongue licks her wet, moist, dripping pussy as she sighs. Breathing so slow and so deeply, I allow my tongue to search out and caressingly travel around her body, leaving areas to explore later. I feel my own pussy starts to moisten up, and beads of sweat engulf my breast and cascade down my back. I think this is forbidden fruit. While I don't care, I'm in the moment. How much I crave for her to fuck me ever so hard that my pussy screams out into ecstasy as we both are feeling the overwhelming, intense desire to have sex. After prolonged foreplay, I return to the dark cavern where I part her lips and her aroma of body heat drives me into a frenzy. I lick her hot, steamy pussy while her ass starts to gyrate backwards and forwards as I stretch my hand to reach the vibrator lying beside me. The low hum as I turned it on excites me because I know it's getting ready to become hot and heavy. As I continue to lap up her pussy juices as if likened unto a cat with a bowl of milk, I purr as my body screams out to be touched, penetrated, and sucked. I want to fuck like this is my last day on earth. I rolled my head sideways and reached up to pinch her nipples that were standing at attention in anticipation of my touch. We decided to switch places because I'm already on fire. She spreads my legs wide and went down with her experienced tongue penetrating my pussy like a penis in frenzy. I can't contain myself. Reaching out to find something to hold onto as I claw at her arms and hands. She squeezes my hands so firmly. I think this can't be as good as it seems. What the hell kind of lovemaking is this? So passionate, so hot, and so intense. I'm loving every minute of it. And then I realize it's lesbian love. Am I gay? Or should I keep this on the down low?
Everyone listening, tuning in,
7:30 next Friday, same time. And I think our guest next week will be about some lady who had postpartum and some legal issue with the children. And we might have to touch on these people who have killed their children because of postpartum depression. That's a serious disease, you know. And we're going to talk about that. And then following that week, we're going to talk about the Shroud of Turin, the cloth that was covered over Jesus in the tomb when he died, and the imprint and the miracle revelations that this guy encountered because of that. So we got some great lineups coming for y'all in September and October, and it's just going to be like we do, off the hook.
Hey.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night, honey.
Good night.
Good night.
Take care. Good night. God bless.
God bless.
I wanna know your name. If I could.
Got to. Lord, have mercy.
perhaps we'll go in town, have a little bite to eat, and then maybe go and take in a little movie. And afterwards, I'll just drop you at the doorstep and give you a little kiss. Oh, I just, so many things that we could do if you tell me your name. I'm not even married. Are you married? Girl, you gotta tell me, tell me, tell me your name.
Your name.
Just wait a minute. Don't leave out the door.
Your name.
Don't leave me. Don't leave me. Let's just tell me. Just tell me.
Thank you for joining us on Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lau and Shalonda. You have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here next Friday at 7:30. Good night.
Good night.